Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. I'm psyched up to feature Alyssa Zongietti. Alyssa is a certified clinical hypnotherapist and an angel of a human. Through her hypnosis and coaching services, Alyssa is dedicated to empowering professionals to reclaim their confidence and self-worth, enabling them to unlock the power of their subconscious minds and awaken their best selves. She believes that everyone is capable of achieving their ultimate dreams and career goals through the mindset shifts with hypnosis. Alyssa is an active member of the International Certification Board of Clinical Hypnotherapists, and her expertise and dedication were recently recognized with a nomination for Best Hypnotherapist in Boston. Thank you for taking time to join us today, Alyssa.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you so much for the sweet introduction. I am so excited to finally be doing this.
I know it's been a long time coming. We've done some Instagram lives, and you know, it's always a great connection, great conversations, and you know, I really like the synergy between us. So we had to get you on the podcast, and I'm excited to dive into more of your story and also some of the mindset shifts that you've experienced with your life and the shifts that you're helping with your clients as well.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I like to start with the backstories here, and I'm interested to hear some of those experiences and the struggles even that shaped you into who you are today.
Well, oh gosh, so many. I have a few years on you, as we know, and so definitely been a lot of lived experiences, but I think a real pivotal turning point for me was when I was 31, my husband died by suicide, and it was a toxic relationship. It was a narcissistic relationship, and I didn't really know any of this until after he passed away. And so when I started beginning to do the work for myself, really going through therapy and trying to heal from these experiences, I started to really understand what my role was in everything. Much as I wanted to point the finger at him and blame him for everything, right? That's the easier road. Yeah. And instead, I had to take a step back and say, what was my role in this? How did I end up in a relationship like this? And then discovering that my previous relationships were the same situation. And so how did that happen? And then recognizing that I had narcissists all around me in my life. I started off my corporate career as an event planner. And so I had a lot of people-pleasing tendencies that I still try to work through to this day. And I literally chose a career focused on people-pleasing as an event planner. And so just really starting to recognize and notice all of these things that added up in my life to lead me where I was at that point and saying, okay, all this stuff has happened to me. I now understand why some of this stuff has happened. What can I do to change it? I used to go into therapy all the time and I would say to the therapist, I don't want to just come in here and talk and complain for an hour. Like, what are we doing to heal me, to move me forward, to create change? Like, we need to be always doing something. And sometimes, you know, she had to tell me to say, okay, sometimes we need to talk through it. We need to understand some of these root causes before you can create that change. So that really started my personal development journey into really understanding where all this mindset work comes into play.
That's really interesting. And something that you said in there that really piqued my interest is, you were trying to get that awareness of what was your role in the situations that you were in. And It's a deep question here to start things off, but I'm curious when that event happened with your husband, did you at all feel responsible for that incident? And was part of that healing like uncovering your role and realizing that, you did not have like that wasn't because of you?
Yeah, so that was definitely part of the journey. So my husband and I were separated at the time. And so we hadn't been having a ton of communication at that point, but he was somebody I met when I was 14. He had been one of my closest friends for years before we ever had a romantic relationship. So even though things were not great between us and our marriage at that point, it was still somebody I cared for and loved deeply, despite all the challenges and despite, his behaviors. Because I knew his behaviors came from somewhere, right? Like it just didn't happen, but based on the way he grew up, things that happened to him in his life led him to his decisions. And so again, like I said, being the people pleaser, wanting to like take care of everybody, being a nurturer, I wanted to fix everything, right? I wanted to rescue him. And so, but I couldn't. That was one of the biggest things that I had to learn both then and after his passing, that I couldn't rescue him. As much as sometimes we want people to make changes in their lives, we can't do it for them. We can support them, we can be there, we can do all the things for them, but they need to make that choice. They need to want the change. And that is one of the hardest lessons to learn. And I know you have had some similar experiences where you have had to navigate that as well. My husband did have an addiction issue, and so that was a big part of his challenges. And as much as I wanted to control it and tell him to stop and help him through all of this, if he didn't want to create the change, I couldn't do it for him, no matter how bad I wanted to. And even no matter how many times I tried to. So really understanding that and realizing that I was not responsible, that there was nothing more I could have done. He had his own actions, he made his own choices and decisions. And as hard as it was to sit back and watch, it was beyond my control. We can't save people, we can't rescue people. And that was one of the biggest lessons I think I had to learn and to forgive myself that, again, understanding what roles that I maybe had in things, but that my actions didn't necessarily equate to the decisions that he made.
Yeah, and that's something that I experienced with my father as well, being an alcoholic. And me and my mom, we did so many things. We held on for so long, longer than we should have at that point. And it really comes down to him wanting to make that change, or whoever that person is in your life. Like, you can give them the path, you can give them all the tools, but they have to pick their foot up and take that step. They have to grab that tool. They have to take that action. And we can't do it for them. And if we do, we're just acting as a crutch, and we're going to continue the same behavior that they're doing. So, as good as or as good of intentions that you want to have, and you want to help that person out, sometimes it can actually be doing them a disservice and prolong those activities, and they keep on slipping down a worse and worse spiral. And it's really hard because it's like, well, what do you do at that point? And for us, like, we had to set boundaries. And again, it's a very hard thing to do, but if you can't change something, you might as well control what you can control and start investing in your own happiness and your own peace and doing those things that you want to do. And again, it's a hard thing. You're going to still think about that person. They're still going to be doing things that you would want to step in and help out with, but at the end of the day, they have to make that decision for them. So I'm curious
Yeah,
for you,
so
like,
true.
how did you set boundaries, and how did you like move forward from that situation?
Ooh, boundaries, like such a hot button word, right? Something again, I'm still working on in life here. Because again, like I said, with my people pleasing tendencies and most of my relationships beyond romantic ones, familial friendships, work relationships, I wanted things calm, I wanted things happy. And so I would always bend and give. But I also, especially growing up, an Italian woman, right? Like care for your family, be a nurturer, very like old school values. And to the, sacrifice, like that's being a good person is you sacrifice and give up for others. And yes, to a point, right? Like we can do some things to sacrifice for people. But I always love the analogy. I feel like you and I probably use this in our discussions, right? We have to put our own oxygen mask on first. just like on the plane, right? They say put your max oxygen mask on first so you can help others. And that was never the narrative that I was told. It was like give, do to your own detriment. And that made you a good person. That was how, those were the messages I was getting as growing up. And so to really unlearn those behaviors and say, no, it's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to take care of myself first. It is okay to not enable, right? There's that fine line of helping somebody versus enabling them. And that was a big lesson I had to learn as well, that I thought I was being helpful and supportive, but actually I was enabling certain behaviors in my quest to help them. And so really, again, understanding and noticing that for myself and then working to create the boundaries. And it, like I said, it's still something ongoing that I'm trying to like change in my life to this day. It's something that I feel I will constantly work on. But once I really understood what boundaries meant and how to implement them and how I can still care for people, I could still be there for them, I can still support them, but it doesn't mean that I have to drown trying to help somebody else all the time. And there's always going to be circumstances where somebody's really going through something major, right? Like it's not a black and white situation. Things are going to ebb and flow, but to not feel that guilt around choosing myself first. It is, doesn't make me selfish by choosing myself first. It doesn't mean I don't care for the other person. It doesn't mean I won't help them and support them, but I get to choose me first, and that is okay. And that, even saying it now, it's like I still have to like pause and really be like, and believe that, because it's after, I'm 44 years old. There's a lot of years that I got a different message. And so really trying to change that for myself now and to unlearn those thoughts and recreate these new thoughts for myself and these new beliefs for myself, it's definitely been a journey.
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate that, putting yourself first for anyone listening, it's not selfish. It's you have to fill your cup. You have to put that oxygen mask on first so that you can be there at, I don't want to say full capacity, but at a better capacity to actually help and be of service and make that impact. Because if you're from an empty cup, you're just really not gonna be very helpful, and you may do some negative in the process, even though you have good intentions. It's just because that cup isn't filled and you don't have that energy or that reserve. So that's something that we also have to just be mindful of is, we have to really make sure, like, tune into ourselves and make sure that we're good so that we can do good in the world.
Absolutely. And I think people need to realize too, again, it's like you saying, it's not a selfish thing, but we have to, if you are somebody that is a caring person and you're always doing for others, people take, right? Unfortunately, a lot of people take in this world and don't necessarily give back. So if you're the one that's always giving, people are always going to take, and not necessarily consciously, they just, if you're always there stepping up to help them and support them, they're, of course, they're going to take it, right? But you can still do that, but to a capacity that feels good for you. It doesn't always have to be to your detriment, and it's going to be hard. This person's not going to like it because they're not benefiting from it anymore. So dynamics may change in the relationship, but in any situation that I've experienced, when I put those boundaries in place, there was a learning curve for everybody because it was a new way of living and experiencing for everyone. But we found our new groove and everybody respected it and understood it. So I just want to encourage people that it may not be easy, but people will understand and people will move forward. And if they don't, maybe those are some people that don't need to have a close place in your life.
Yeah, and one last thing on the boundaries conversation. Trent Shelton, he actually has a metaphor that really shifted my perspective on how to view boundaries. And he says that boundaries are bridges and that these are like invitations. Like you're setting a new standard, you're going in a new direction. You have this new bridge that is going to get you there. And you're saying, hey, I would love to have you on board. I would love to do these types of things with you. But if they're going to stay as that old self and they're not going to grow with you and they're going to, just be at that spot and they're not willing to take that bridge and support you back because it has to be a two-way street. It can't be all one-sided. You sent the invitation. Like you can't feel guilty that they don't want to come or that you feel like you have to change your bridge and your boundaries and your terms. Like, you can set your terms, you can offer it out. If they don't want it, that's on them. But you have to live with that and continue to follow through on the things that you said you were going to do. And once I heard that, I was like, oh, well, I'm just setting bridges now. Like, you can
I
come with me.
love that. I love a good visual analogy. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, so hopefully it can help someone listening. I know that it's a hot topic for everyone out there. We all have family, we all have friends, and things we grow in different directions over time, and that just it can put a strain sometimes, but it can also be a great opportunity to grow together if you view it that way. But I want to transition here a little bit, and before we get into the hypnotherapy, I think that a good segue is mindfulness. And I'm curious, like, what does mindfulness mean to you, and how do you practice that?
Such a good question. I actually just spoke on a panel last week, and this was one of the questions. And I just
Perfect.
love it because it means something different to everyone, and we all have our different perceptions of it. But to me, mindfulness is everything, right? It's how we view the world, it's how we experience the world, it's how we perceive the world. And the way you may perceive something or experience something is going to be different from the way that I experience it. And I think understanding that is huge because just because this is the way you view something doesn't mean that someone else is experiencing that way. And we all have our own outside influences impacting that as well. So I think really keeping that top of mind when you talk about mindfulness and mindset, but also for me, it comes from an empowered place. Again, we talked earlier about things we can control and things we can't. We can control our minds. It's one of the only things we can control. And so really holding on to that and understanding that we control our outcomes with our mind, because we can talk in the negative and say, oh, I don't want this to happen. I hope this doesn't happen to me. But no, what we need to be thinking about is what we want to happen, right? You and I were just talking about it before we started recording, right? About manifesting different media opportunities and things. And so it's thinking about what is that vision? What is that opportunity? What am I trying to accomplish? Really thinking about that from an empowered place versus what we don't want, because the mind doesn't understand the negative. And so the way I always explain this to people is, so I'm a golfer. I don't know if others will be golfers that are listening, but same thing, right? I know you're a basketball player. And so if you think, oh my gosh, I want the ball to go in the hoop. I want it to, I hope it doesn't miss the rim. I hope it doesn't bounce. I hope, right? If you think like that, what's the ball going to do? It's going to bounce and miss the basket. If you are thinking about the ball going into the basket and the sound it makes and the swoosh and right, like if you're envisioning that, that's where the ball's going to go. The mind doesn't understand the negative. So that's why we have to think about what we want for the outcome and not what we don't want.
This brings me to my health days when, I was actually like really struggling, and I'm trying to rewire my mind. I'm trying to think more positive. And when you're in those spots where you're thinking something but you're feeling the opposite, that was the hardest thing for me. And I was saying things like, I want to be healed without medication, or maybe that's not the best one, but I was saying things like, I don't. In the saying, and it's like the mind doesn't know what that even means. Like, I want to be in remission without medication and stuff like that. And you have to be very visual with it, because like, other than like no and like don't, like a stop sign might come up, but like, we don't have that type of the visual. So I had to just start thinking like healed, healthy. I just had to change my words, and I felt like those were getting me different results. And it's very interesting, like when we tune in with the visualization piece and really like feeling it with our senses, and like just going with it and creating like a little story in a sense. I had to really just be careful with that, because like I noticed that I was saying the wrong words and just not feeling like I was really making progress, because it was like in opposite with it. So that's something that I noticed. But I'm curious, with you and hypnotherapy, like, when did you get introduced to that, and how has it impacted your life?
Yeah, so As I said, experiencing this time with my husband and his passing, and again, my life went in a very different direction than I thought it was. I was 31 years old when he passed away. Like, we were just about to like start a family, and we were just on a much different trajectory. And here I was, like, my life was totally, over as I knew it. And really, and then again, being in a situation and an age where that's what everyone around you is doing. And so I felt very lonely and isolated. And that's where I got really focused on my personal development journey and started with therapy, but then really went beyond that and trying to see what other resources there were out there and really understanding mindfulness and a lot of mindset work. Hearing about, you hear like NLP, like neuro-linguistics programming. There's all these terms you hear out there. You hear of EFT tapping, and I was like, let me try all the things. I will try anything and everything to see what works for me. And so that's really where my personal development journey started and where I really started to understand mindfulness and the power of the mind. And as you said, the power of words. Words are so important, and we don't realize that until we really start to understand that concept. So my exposure to hypnosis really started in mindset work. It wasn't this formal hypnosis that I was doing, because at the time I didn't understand. I was doing guided meditations, manifestations, coming from a very empowered place. And then started to realize, okay, like these have formal names. And so for me, I had actually gone on this journey. I'd started doing women's empowerment coaching. I was running a networking group for women. And many women were like, can you help coach me? And so I started doing that work. And as I said, I'm somebody that likes to like do and change. I didn't want to just be talking through things. So I was doing that same thing with my clients. I didn't want them to just come in and talk to me every week. What are we doing to create change in your life? And so I wanted more specific tools to bring them. And I'd even explored going back to school to become a psychologist, some kind of social worker, therapist. And then I realized, like, that'll be another 7 years of my life that I need to dedicate to education to help people. And I said, you know what, though? Some of these tools that I'm aware of don't take 7 years to learn and to master. And there are other ways that I can help women in a much quicker capacity. And so definitely feel some kind of divine intervention that I had heard about a hypnosis certification by somebody here in the Boston area. She was a part of one of my networking groups and happened to put out an advertisement. And it was like, the church bells went off, the light bulbs went off, like, oh my gosh, like, this is it. This is everything I was saying that I wanted. I wanted to be able to help women. I wanted to have tools to be able to give people to create change and create it quickly. And here it was. And I never, like I said, had this like formal title to it. I was familiar with what hypnosis was, but I realized all along that's what I was doing in my work. So I went ahead and got certified, because I knew this was the way that I could really help a lot of people and help people quickly.
Yeah, and it feels like it's something that you're really drawn to and connected with just by talking with you. And we did a little group session as well with the hypnosis, and I got a ton of great feedback from that, like just saying how people enjoyed it. And I'm curious for like the person that, thinks of hypnosis as like the woo-woo, like the swinging pendulum
Oh,
thing.
yes.
What actually is like hypnosis? Like if you're working with a client, like what does that work actually look like? Because I'm thinking it's like, I know it's not the woo-woo, but I'm thinking it's like a series of like positive suggestions and like really just like guiding your mind in a certain direction to get better results. But I'd love to hear like your perspective on it.
Yeah, so you're right on. So, right, people have this Hollywood perception of hypnosis. They think I'm going to wave a pocket watch at them, make them bark like a dog or quack like a duck. That is not hypnosis. That is like a stage show. That's like a magic show. That's not what we're talking about here. All hypnosis truly is a form of guided meditation. And as you said, more empowered statements. It's reprogramming the subconscious mind. It's unlearning these old thoughts and behavior patterns that we have and teaching our brain new ways of doing things. And we do that through language and through guided meditation. And so that's what I love about hypnosis, because it's very approachable. Just about anybody out there can do it. I get asked all the time, like, oh, can you hypnotize me? Or, I can't be hypnotized. If you're open to the process, there's very few people that it is counterindicated for. So about, 95% of the population is absolutely able to be hypnotized if you are open to the process. If you're closed off, That's another conversation. But if you're open to the process, you can create change very rapidly. You can see results in within your first session. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing about hypnosis, because I feel like it's this tool that's out there that not enough people know about, but it is so accessible to everyone. Again, we all go to, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of talk therapy. A lot of hypnotherapists may tell you otherwise, but I do think it has its place for a lot of reasons. But a lot of times we go into talk therapy and that's what we do. We just talk. We don't create the change. Hypnosis is a great tool because it's going to create the change and you can create really lasting change. And that's what I think sometimes people don't understand. But I love it's being more widely used in the medical community now. You're hearing a lot more talk about it. They're using it for pain management, for childbirth. There's so many ways. I mean, a lot of people hear about it for like weight loss or to quit smoking. I mean, it really runs the gamut. There are so many ways that you can use hypnosis. And like I said, it's so accessible to everyone. And I think the other thing I just want to mention is it can be, I work virtually. You don't physically have to be in person to create this change. It is a modality that can be done virtually. So you could literally be anywhere in the world working with a practitioner. And so that's another way that it's very accessible.
Yeah, and talking about how, I feel like it's not talked about enough. And you're talking about how it's getting more introduced in the medical field. I feel like just personal development at large, like I know that's something you're big into. It feels like the whole world is like trying to get into it now, and it's like just more of an open concept. Would you consider, or like, would you say that hypnosis is a tool or a method of personal development?
Oh, definitely. Because again, there's so much you can use it for to create any kind of habit change, any kind of overcome fears. Like I said, you can use it for so many things. A lot of the clients that I work with, no matter what people come to me to, whether it's like a fear of flying or the dentist or speaking on the stage to, again, nutrition and weight loss goals, I've always found that it's rooted in one of three things: people's lack of self-confidence, self-worth, or self-love, or combination of all three. And so a lot of our behaviors and patterns are deep rooted in something else, right? We were both just talking about experiences we had in our childhood, and this stuff impacts us and impacts the way we act and our behaviors. But again, the mind is powerful. We have the power to change it. And that's what hypnosis provides. It is a tool to create that change. So if you can understand the root causes, whether you're somebody that wants to limit their sugar intake and move your body more, or you're somebody that wants to get on a stage and speak or be more confident, in a boardroom or in a courtroom, you can use hypnosis for all of those things. It can truly, because we're just reprogramming our subconscious mind.
And isn't that like basically the definition of neuroplasticity, like creating and rewiring those new wires in your brain, like something like that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So we're using some visual examples. I like to give visual examples of hypnosis. So marketers use hypnosis on us all the time, right? You see an ad for something, whether it maybe is a food, like a slice of pizza that looks delicious, or maybe a tropical destination. You see the beautiful blue ocean and the sandy beaches, and you're like, oh wow, I want to be there, right? Your mind is creating a picture because you've either experienced it before and you're reverting back to those memories, or it's maybe a place you've always wanted to go experience. So again, you tie an emotion to that. Marketers bank on this
Yeah.
to get us to, create change, to take an action. And so that right there is the simplest form of hypnosis and the power of the mindset. Or again, if you see, like I said, something like a slice of pizza or maybe like an ice cream sundae on the screen, and you're like, ooh, that looks good. You're right. You instantly think of like maybe a time that you enjoy that item, or you have a maybe a positive memory around it, and you instantly want to go back there. So marketers bank on this stuff. And it's very easy to get into a hypnotic state. This is the other thing I always explain to people is, if you've ever driven somewhere and it's somewhere that you go regularly and you're just kind of driving, you're like on autopilot, you're maybe daydreaming and thinking about other things, your to-do list, things you need to do later, phone calls you need to make. And then you get to your destination, you're like, wow, I don't really remember how I got here.
Yeah.
Right? Not the safest, but that is essentially a hypnotic state because you were deeper in the mindset because your mind knew exactly where to go and what to do. And you're, instinctively just knew make the right here, take the left there, because you've done it so many times. So that is a great visualization of understanding the conscious mind versus the subconscious mind.
Very interesting. And I think it's funny now that we're going to be both hypnosis because I'm doing marketing for restaurants now, and I'm going to just be hypnotizing everyone to come meet
There
with
you
us.
go. Right. But that's exactly what you're banking on. You're creating an emotion for someone, whether it looks like a cool, fun vibe or a family vibe, or like you said, the creating cravings around food. I mean, that's again, it shows the power of mind.
Yeah, the mindset is everything. And I actually love how you value the mindset so much because in my healing journey, I focus so much on the physical. And when you're feeling like physical pain like that, you're naturally gonna focus in that area. But one of the most undervalued was my mindset and how I needed to heal in that sense. And I got my diagnosed in like 2016. I thought I healed my body like 4 or 5 years after pretty well, but then there's things in my mind that I didn't even know I needed to heal. And so I'm curious, in terms of mental health, is that something that hypnosis is being more actively used on and like as a solution for that?
Yeah, so the mind and the body go hand in hand. And again, I think now more and more we're talking about this. And there's more and more data out there, there's more and more research, and people are talking about it more, but they go hand in hand so much. As you were just saying, you were healing your physical body, but you probably didn't realize you were actually using your mind to create that, right? Like you had to create a change to your lifestyle, to your what you were eating, what you were consuming, and it may not have been pleasant, right? Like if you're used to eating like sugary, delicious foods, and then you're like, okay, well, I can't keep eating this stuff. I need more nutritious foods. That can be a hard shift to make. And that's why we need to get our minds right with it because I mean, we can all grin and bear it through anything. We can kind of white knuckle it and be like, all right, I'm not going to have that piece of cake today, but that's not going to work every day for the long term. You have to get your mind right to say, no, I enjoy nutritious foods. When I eat nutritious foods, my body feels good. I can move more. I feel lighter. I feel happier. It's reprogramming the mind around these things. It's not about I can't have these things anymore. It's that I get to have these other things because they make me feel better. And so the mind and the body really go hand in hand. I had one client recently who had had a physical injury, and she needed to go through her physical therapy to get to a certain point to be able to have surgery to correct the problem. Well, they couldn't get her there. She was doing all the things, doing what the doctor said, was going to physical therapy, and they're like, you can't get to the right range of motion, and until you get there, we can't do the surgery to correct it. Well, we did hypnosis work together, and what we discovered is she was just so afraid of, she knew once she had surgery again that she essentially had to rehab a second time. So her mind was so blocked around that surgery, even though it was going to help her in the long term. But she was just thinking of all the negative and hard that was coming with it, not all the benefit that was going to come once she got through that time. Within a couple of sessions, because they kept saying the doctor's like, there's nothing physical wrong. The limitation is not physical. This is your mind now. And so within three sessions, we were able to get her to a point where she had reached all the goals that she needed to, was able to have surgery, and went into the surgery in a very positive mindset. And so it's really just shows like how they truly go hand in hand.
Yeah, and this is actually bringing me to one of my basketball athletes right now. She has so much skill. She dominates in practice like all the time. She's one of our best players. But when we get in games and in tournaments, it feels like she just kind of like shuts down. And it's like the test syndrome. Like you can prepare for the test, you know all the answers, but when you get to the test, you just kind of freeze up and you have a poor performance. So I'm curious, like, how does hypnosis go with performance and like in particular for athletes?
Yes, this is such a great question. And I actually loved the Olympics this summer because a lot of the Olympians were talking about the mindset work that goes into this. And it's a lot of mindset work. Again, like I said, I was just at this conference last week and actually met a woman that is a basketball coach. She was a collegiate athlete. And she works with athletes all the time. And she said the same thing. You can have all the skill in the world, but if your mindset is not strong around it, it doesn't matter, because when you get out there, people freeze. They have these fears. They lack the confidence. And that really hinders their performance. So it's not necessarily just about skill and talent. The mindset really comes at play here. I know Simone Biles was very vocal about her mindset work from their previous Olympics, and having problems where she had to walk away and she couldn't finish competing. And she said, without the mindset work that I did, I would have never been able to get back out there. And so I think it's great that athletes are talking about this more, because I think in that world, right, you're supposed to have it all together, right? Put your best foot forward. It's a very competitive industry, but nobody talks about the hard work that goes into it. Or they're maybe talking about the hard work where they're hitting the gym and they're, different regimens, and because that's a little more socially acceptable, and because people can relate that to athletics. But it really starts at the mind, and that's what people need to be talking about more. And I am so glad to see that they are, because it's just a huge part of your performance and your athletics. Again, whether it's performance in sports or it's performance in your career, it's all the same.
Yeah, that's something that I'm excited to dive into with the coaching and really getting into that mental side and making an impact on the youth at an early age. And they can take these skills not only with basketball but off the court as well, and something that they can continue on and just be life lessons that continue to benefit them.
Yes, and I love that. I grew up a dancer and I taught dance for a lot of years, and I say it all the time, like, this is the stuff that needs to be taught in school. I don't need to know how to do advanced algebra and geometry. Like, somebody teach me some life skills here, because that's what we really need to learn, because like you said, it translates to everything, whether you're, 9 years old or 59 years old. It's that personal development work and understanding some of this stuff is really what it all comes down to.
Always. Man, we are just rolling through this conversation. I knew this was going to be a good one. I got one last question
All
before
right.
we start to wrap things up here. Thank you so much for your time here and just sharing, peeling back the mindset, because I truly believe like the mindset in this whole EMG equation, it's like the biggest piece of it. And if we don't have that, we're going to continue to repeat our same mistakes or not get the results that we want, and it just becomes this cycle and this loop. So I think this is just a really valuable conversation, and I hope that I would actually encourage our listeners to reach out to you and let us know some of their biggest takeaways and how they're shifting their mindset from this conversation.
Yes, I would love to hear that. Please reach out. I love to talk about this stuff. I totally geek out on it. So I'm always happy to just answer questions and talk about it, because I feel like it's something that everybody needs to know about.
Yes. So now for the last question, I'm changing it up a little bit. I know you listen to the
Okay.
podcast,
I
so
do.
this is
All
a new
right.
one. So if today was your last day on Earth, what would you want your final message to be that you would share with the world?
Wow. Okay. This is a deep one. I think it would just be to love yourself more, because that is something that I've always struggled with. And once I really understood that more and gave myself more compassion and just loved myself a little bit more, it just made everything so much easier. Life is hard. A lot happens. We all have our own journeys. And I just think we're really hard on ourselves. We have a lot of expectations on ourselves. And I think society puts a lot of expectations on us. And once you can just let go of some of that, just really be who you are and not worry about what everybody else is thinking about, and just love on yourself, it just makes the days a little bit easier, because, like I said, life is hard. Things are going to be hard. But when you're just kind to yourself and loving yourself a little bit more, it just seems to make it go a little bit easier.
That's an amazing final takeaway. I love that, and something that I'm going to start, implementing more in my life, and doing some of that self-love and giving myself more grace, because I feel like I'm always go, go, go. I just turned 26 and I'm like, oh, that's 4 years left to 30. Like, I gotta start cranking out some stuff. So,
Right, but
it's not a race though.
it's so not right as somebody much older than you. But right, we put that stuff on us, and it's really hard. And if I could leave everyone with one final thing, so this is something I do a lot when I give talks, and I tell everybody it's a little exercise to go ahead, and I want you to list everybody that you love. Just like take 30 seconds, write it in your phone, jot it on a piece of paper, and write everyone that you love on the list. And then I want you to evaluate that list. And was your name on the list? Because most times your name is not on that list. Or if it is, it's pretty low down on the list. And when I do that exercise with people, like I said, it's just like that, ooh, like, right? Again, we give and we always are there for others and we love on others so much, which we should. We all need to do that. But we get to love on ourselves too. And so, it's just let that be an eye opener to you. Like, you should be on that list too. Of all the things and people that you love, you need to be on that list. And in my opinion, you should be number one.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I appreciate you for sharing that final lesson with us.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
yeah, so now let us know how we can support you. We know that you have your hypnosis practice, so let us know like how we can get involved with that if anyone's interested, and if there's anything else that you have going on or you're looking forward to in your world as well. Would love to know and see how we can get involved.
Yes, for sure. So thank you again so much for just inviting me to be here today. I always love our conversations. And I'm sure it'll be in the show notes, but connect with me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. You can check out my website, and there's a lot of great information there just about hypnosis in general. Like I said, I love to just talk about this stuff, so please feel free to reach out. There is actually a free download on my website if people would like to experience a hypnosis session. There's actually one on self-love. So you can go give that a download and experience a virtual hypnosis session for yourself. It's something you could listen to every day. It's about 15 minutes long. So like carve out that 15 minutes for yourself, connect with yourself, and you can boost your level of self-love. And I do one-on-one hypnosis work, but I also have some group program that I do. So again, connect with me. You can get on my email list to learn more about some of the group stuff coming up. I usually do something around the holidays to manage anxiety around the holiday season, which is always a big one. And definitely have a group program coming up around weight loss and nutrition and fitness goals, which is always a popular one, and some other things in the works. So I encourage people to follow along.
Yeah, sounds like you got a lot in the works. So don't be shy, guys. Feel free to reach out to Alyssa and check out what she's got going on. Alyssa, thank you so much for sharing your story and being vulnerable with us today. You lead with kindness and are empowering others to awaken their best selves, and the world is a brighter and better place because of you. Thank you so much for stopping by and impacting us today.
Oh, you're amazing, and right back at you. You are a gem in this world. Keep doing what you are doing.
Thank you so much. Grateful to have you. Dr. Doug's offers the best organic topical balms for protecting, healing, and restoring your skin and life. Just twist off a cap, apply like lotion, and get ready to feel outstanding. My favorite products are the magnesium balm for headaches and recovery balm for coaching basketball or training for a Spartan race. But that's not all. It started with Dr. Doug's original Miracle Balm, a rejuvenating balm fueled with all organic ingredients, including beeswax, extra virgin olive oil, extra virgin coconut oil, shea butter, peppermint and lavender essential oils, and vitamin E. This one-of-a-kind solution is designed to tackle an array of skin concerns such as itchy dry skin, eczema, any rashy, irritated areas, and much more. Now, if you're bright and pasty like me, you may want to consider their Miracle Balm plus zinc as a natural sunscreen to keep you from frying up without any harmful SPF chemicals that are linked to cancer. Now, do you hate bugs? Me too, but we got you. tried Dr. Doug's bug potion to repel bugs, relieve itchy bites, and kill bacteria so you can enjoy the great outdoors once again. There is truly something for everybody, including that little one in your life who is trying to tell you to get Dr. Doug's baby balm for their bum right now. And here's your chance. Click the link in our show notes now to enhance your life with Dr. Doug's balms and get extra to share with those who you care about. Take back your power and feel outstanding with Dr. Doug's natural balms.